Julian Disney, you're with the Australian Press Council. What do you make of this judgment in the federal court today about racial vilification and the articles by the Herald Sun journalist Andrew Bolt?
Well, I've only read the summary of the judgment so far, and I wasn't in court, of course, so one must qualify all comments in that way. I think there's a clear risk that its meaning may be taken out of context, and I think it's very important that that doesn't happen. And I think some aspects, at least of the summary, perhaps may be open to misunderstanding or criticism. But the crucial point really is at the end of the summary, which emphasises the judge says he's not deciding there was an offence because of the subject matter, but because of the way it was dealt with. And he sees that he believes there were errors of fact and distortion and inflammatory and provocative language. And it's fundamental, I think, to note that last point, that he's saying this area is not a no-go area, the sort of issues that Andrew Bolt referred to. It's only that in the judge's view, he didn't do it in a way that complies with the Racial Discrimination Act. I think that there would be a very clear and worrying risk to free speech and I think also to eventual social cohesion if this issue was seen, or this case was seen as establishing a no-go area. That would be a great problem. I think it's crucial that issues like this are open for discussion. But I think it's especially important that if you do that, you must do it with great care about the facts and in a civil manner. It can be robust. I think that's quite legitimate, but it needs to be civil. I'm not forming a judgment about how Andrew Bolt did it. That's a matter for the judge. But I think it's crucial that this is not seen as establishing a no-go area, but more saying you must be particularly sensitive in an area of this kind.
Is it plainly an issue of freedom of speech? Is it plainly a free speech issue as far as you're concerned?
Well, there's certainly a balance that has to be drawn here, and the judge is clear about that. The Racial Discrimination Act establishes, as it were, a potential offence, but then has a defence to it, which is broadly a freedom of speech offence of fair comment, etc. He believes that defence in this particular case wasn't available to Mr. Bolt. I think it's very important that his emphasis that the subject matter that is dealt with in this article is not a no-go area, that's recognised. If that's not recognised, then this is a major problem from the point of view of free speech. On the other hand, if people don't also take on board the judge's message that when you're getting into sensitive areas of this kind, you must be especially meticulous about facts and about civility, then that's a problem as well. Freedom of speech and its maintenance in the community does depend on civility, but it also depends on maintaining openness and an ability to touch on sensitive topics.
To reduce it to a matter of free speech, doesn't that ignore a lot of what's in the judge's summary, the judge saying that, yes, there is free speech in this society, but it needs to be dealt with responsibly?
Well, I think they need to take away the two facts. The first is that he's not saying this area is taboo. That's very important from freedom of speech, but he's also saying when you're in sensitive areas in particular, you must handle them civilly. Both those points are of equal significance, in my opinion. And a point that he emphasises at the end. The question of their application in this case is a matter I'm not qualified to comment on, but those principles that he espoused, I think, are right, and it's important that they're not lost in perhaps some other aspects, at least in the summary, which I think might be open to misunderstanding.
The judge said that there was a real possibility with the circulation of the Herald and Weekly Times. There would be people who read these articles who have racist beliefs, and that their beliefs may have been backed up somewhat by these articles, and he was concerned about that. Isn't that a legitimate concern to have had?
Yes, it is a legitimate concern, but I think concern also needs to be had about the risk of people. This is an area where it's quite possible, I think, for people to have genuine differences of opinion about this, and to be concerned about the issues that Andrew Bolt tried to raise, perhaps not clearly and effectively, but for them to be able to discuss those issues without being characterised as racist, that's very important. I think without wanting to delve into the details too much, perhaps one of the main problems with the way that Mr. Bolt dealt with it was the extent to which he focused on skin colour when what he was really, I think, think Tim talked about was, in fact, genetic characteristics, and I think that aggravated the problem.
Andrew Bolt came out of court today and said, "This is a terrible day for free speech."
Well, I've expressed my views about that. I think if the judgment is misinterpreted, I think it is a great risk to free speech. I think it's very important that it's correctly understood and that it does fully endorse the right to speak about the issue that he spoke about, or that I think perhaps, frankly, he intended to speak about, which, as I say, is sort of the sort of genetic or ethnic background of people rather than their skin colour.
Would you agree that it's somewhat simplistic to characterise this judgment as an attack on free speech?
Well, I don't know that I'd want to simplistically respond to that. That would be a simplistic assertion, and it might be simplistic for me to say it's simplistic. It's a delicate balance, and I hope what will come out of this... the principles in some ways, frankly, are more important than the particular application in this case, about which people like myself from outside can't be too dogmatic, I think. But the two principles that I've espoused of this being an area that you can speak and write about, but given its sensitivity, you must do it in a civil way, which still allows for robustness, a civil way and a way which ensures compliance with facts is important. And I think it is legitimate to say, as Mr. Bolt does in one of the articles, that social cohesion can be damaged by an excessive emphasis on one's own ethnic background or the ethnic background of others. That can damage social cohesion. I think it's also important for columnists and broadcasters and politicians and other people of special influence to bear that in mind when they're talking about other issues, where there can be a tendency on their part to perhaps too simplistically identify people by their ethnic origins or other characteristics, which can give rise to prejudice.
Just lastly, during the trial, it came out that Andrew Bolt didn't contact any of these nine people before the articles were published. He didn't try to and didn't speak to any of them. He relied a lot on the search engine Google for his information. Much of what was in Google was wrong. What would you say to the media about some of the principles that need to be observed?
Well, without tying it particularly to this particular case, certainly it's a matter of concern to the Press Council, and we've expressed this view on other matters in recent weeks, that there can be a view in some circles that columns or blogs online or comment streams to websites are somehow exempt from the normal principles of accuracy and fairness and balance, and they're not. The council is quite unequivocal about that, and so the need to ensure accuracy and fairness and balance certainly applies. And one element of trying to ensure accuracy is that usually, not always, depending on the circumstances, usually it is important to check the facts with direct sources. And of course, usually it's a good idea to provide some views from other quarters. But that's where probably an opinion piece perhaps doesn't need to provide a counteracting opinion, but it does mean that it needs to give the people that it's criticising a fair go, and that means in many cases, that means speaking to them to check facts or to see if they have a counter-argument before one expresses an opinion. And I think there is a risk, again, I'm not linking this particularly with the Andrew Bolt article, but there is a risk generally in the media at the moment, aggravated, I think, by some attitudes on the internet, who believe that you can just, get things out there straight away and tidy them up later, or that somehow this isn't a serious form of speech which needs to be complying with the normal principles. And, of course, if we abandon those principles, then we do put freedom of speech at risk. The best protection for freedom of speech is civil exercise of it.